within always seemed sterile, unlike its lingering aroma of stale beer thoughts. Even though Marty, I and most of our gang had been locals to Pumley all our lives, whenever we entered the Red Stag, we were always looked upon disapprovingly by the regulars, as if we were outsiders, and God forbid we ever got loud or leery inside the bar. The collective looks of disapproval thrown our way if our volume rose above a stifled level suggested we may as well have been drinking in a library. Despite Marty's contempt for the place, the Red Stag had still been the scene of one of his favourite moments on a local night out. Not that he was inside the place at the time. Instead, he'd been watching intently from the opposite side of the road, in his far more natural habitat of the Trader's Arms, waiting for the madness to ensue. The stunt he'd managed to pull was for a surprise dam and anniversary party he'd somehow got wind of. It would be fair to say that the happy elderly couple weren't the only ones surprised when the celebratory night came. It's still debatable who was more shocked, the patrons of the Red Stag or the male stripper Marty had had to perform for them. So why would he choose the Stag of all places to meet up for a beer? As I turned the question over in my mind, I inadvertently answered it. The clue was in the name. It was to do with the stag party for my upcoming wedding, I was sure of it. As my best man, Marty had been on the receiving end of a lot of flack lately from our circle of friends over the lack of planning or details for any stag do, especially with the wedding just a few months away. Yet, in response, he would simply smile and throw us a satisfied look that suggested something big was coming. This reaction was always met with justified suspicion, mainly due to Marty's track record of organisational blunders. This was the same person who, quite literally, couldn't organise a piss-up in a brewery. When he'd ballsed up a day trip to a beer festival he'd seen advertised for a town hall in a nearby town. When the minibus dropped us off, the poster displayed on the town hall door was advertising an arts and crafts fair that day instead. Asking around some of the locals, we were soon informed that the beer festival had taken place the previous week. It was something Marty would never live down, and every Christmas since, we'd sent him some poorly constructed handmade arts and crafts gifts with abusive messages written on them, as an unnecessary reminder of his ineptitude. As I entered the Red Stag, I was greeted by the sight of Marty at one of the larger, round wooden tables. Marty was an unkempt-looking man of average height and, over the years, had developed something of a portly physique. The lads used to tease him that he had the look of a sportsman about him, before elaborating that the sportsman he looked like was the darts player Jockey Wilson. Marty was flanked around the table by the six other members of our gang. These were hardly the knights of the round table, but the louts of the round table. There was little opportunity for any prerequisite small talk as I sat down with my pint of bitter next to Marty. Instead, Adrian Wilson, the eldest of our circle of friends, and always reliably straight as an arrow when it came to getting to the point, immediately spoke to the matter in hand. Aid had never been one to suffer fools gladly, which made his friendship with Marty a challenge at times, yet it was one he embraced. Adrian was as loyal a person as you could ever wish for, and his bluntness, though not always appreciated, was always respected. The fact that Aid was such a stand-up guy made it all the more remarkable that he was so shit-scared of his wife and was quicker to submit to her than Jant Haystacks was to Big Daddy. Whenever we saw him in the pub, he seemed to permanently have a lit cigarette balanced in his mouth, since he wasn't allowed to smoke them in the house. So then, Marty, please tell us you've finally got your lazy arse in gear and sorted out the stag do. The now customary look Marty threw upon hearing this well-worn question filled us with little confidence that anything had been arranged. Yet the words that came from his mouth took us all by surprise.
I have. And what's more, it's all been booked and paid for. The eight of us.